We are so honored to have our spiritual sons and daughters back in the house today. Many of you know them, and for the sake of those who do not know them, I want to take time to introduce them. Pastor TJ and Courtney Williams are just some of our dearest friends in ministry. They served here on staff with us for close to 7 to 8 years. Right after they graduated college, came on as our young adult pastors, and very quickly we seen God's hand upon their lives. They moved here to Virginia, where they worked at a tremendous church out there in Life Point, Virginia, for another 6 or 7 years. And then God has just recently, they planted Life Point Church in Phoenix, Arizona, a couple of years ago, and God is already, I'm just telling you, man, God is just doing a miracle out there, one of the fastest growing churches in the Phoenix metro, one of the best young preachers in America today. They are, I want to say he's like a spiritual son, but I'm not old enough to be a spiritual father, but, okay, spiritual big brother, maybe that's a little more age appropriate. No, I could be his father. But today, I want you to welcome back into the house our family, Pastor TJ, Courtney, welcome today. So glad you're here.
Oh, come on. I'm going to do the preacher talk. That's good for me. But can you give Jesus some praise in this place? I said, can you give Jesus some praise in this place? I'm going to give you 5 more seconds and give Jesus a mighty shout, a thunderous applause. Greatly is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Can I give y'all 1 more reason to praise God? I'm going to preach, but I feel something stirring up in me. We were singing that song, Jesus Be the Name. And Pastor Mel, she sang this part that says, there's healing in your name. And for some reason, I came in here today and I felt like God said that there's gonna be some people in their physical bodies that God was about to heal. But he gave it to me as a reminder. You may not know this story, but he just said, I was on staff for a few years, and there was one time he entrusted me to preach. He was actually out of town, I remember it. And I began to preach, Big Mike, you're gonna remember this. And at the end of service, something just started to happen. Well, we started to pray over physical miracles to happen in the church. Some of y'all remember that day. And we were like, we don't want to just read about the miracles. We want to see it with our own eyes. And while I was standing here, she said, there's healing in the name. God said, remember. And I turn around and I see one of the men that we prayed over. His name is Rick. And y'all maybe don't know this story. He came in. I think he was still in the wheelchair at that point. He had a stroke, came in a wheelchair. We prayed for him and we said, not in the name of Destiny Church, not in the name of Pastor TJ. We said, in Jesus' name, you will be healed. Well, church, I just saw him back here and he just... Y'all think I'm running around just because I've seen the miracles with my own eyes. And I came to tell somebody today, Jesus be the name that gets all the glory. If he did it for Rick, I came from Arizona to tell somebody he can do it for you. If you believe it, give him a shout of praise. Shout it to God. Hey! All right, y'all, I'm trying to calm down, but I feel something stirring because somebody needed to see the miracle. But here's what I know. It's easy to praise God, Pastor Gene, after the miracles happen. But I wonder what it would take. I'm telling you, the best praise and the best faith is when you haven't seen it happen yet. When you're sitting next to your spouse right now that you're mad at and you want to get a divorce and you still praise him anyway. When your child still hasn't come to church yet, but you keep praying, praise him anyway. When your bank account is on empty, I want to tell somebody, praise him anyway. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm telling you what praise can do. Praise moves the hand of God. He can break something off of your life. I'm trying to give you about 10 more seconds to not look at me, but praise our God. Go, praise. Oh, come on, 10 more seconds. Come on. Jesus be the name. Come on, say, Jesus be the. Oh, come on, church. He's in this place right now that gets all the glory. Come on, from the front to the back. We sing, Jesus be. Come on, Jesus be the. Somebody's faith is starting to rise in this place. If you need a miracle, you might as well stand back up and come on, let's God move in this place. Jesus be the name, say, Jesus be. That gets all the glory. One more time, from your heart today, Jesus be the name, say. Pastor, it don't take all that. This is not a normal Sunday. Normally, I'm sitting here and I'm just ready to take my notes and listen to Pastor Gene preach and teach me and help me. But sometimes what God does is he will shift the normal so that he can do the supernatural. Some people got it, because I still got some of y'all. I love you, but y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. And here's why, because you don't know my story. You don't know my testimony. I thought I was about to put this in my message, but the Lord is trying to tell me to tell somebody right now. I was on stage jumping around, praising God, and everybody thought that I was free, but I was going home bound every night. 12 years of my life, I was watching inappropriate images. You know what I'm talking about. And I would come up here and praise God and do all those things, and I was faking it for everybody. And everybody thought that I was fine, but I wasn't. And I could not get out of it. I had done everything that I could. I had read certain things. I left my phone outside. I put the computer, but there was still something broken on the inside of me. But when I called on the name of Jesus, I said, when I called on the name of Jesus for real, he broke that addiction off my life. It was 12 years, but can I tell you, I'm standing here now 15 years free, 15 years sober. So you can look at me like you crazy all you want to, but I know what God has done. I know what he did for me. I know how he set me free. Thank you, God. All right. Let me preach before I scare somebody off. One more time. Jesus be the name. He's here. Jesus be the name. Jesus be the name that gets all the glory. Jesus be the name. Jesus be the name. Jesus be the name. So, Father, do what you want to do in this place. Have your way. I decrease so that you might increase. I'm not here to impress. I'm not here to show off, God. I am here to help people encounter you. So Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Break off every chain of bondage. And God, I speak against anything that is holding people back from receiving in you right now. I come and declare with the authority of Jesus Christ that every demon, every dark place, every high thing that has set itself up against Jesus in this room, it comes down today. Pride comes down today. Anxiety comes down today in the name of Jesus. And we will be receptive, not to my words, but to your words. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in this place today, on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said a big amen, amen. Come on, one more time. Put your hands together if you love Jesus in this room. All right. Y'all stop, because I ain't gonna get out of this. My church knows. I'm like, when I say stop, y'all better stop, or we're going to be worshiping for at least 14 hours. Come on, somebody. Y'all laughing. I'm not playing. We got a night of worship coming up on Friday night. We might be there for 2 whole weeks, y'all. I'm telling you. And so before I get into the message, I am so honored, grateful, thankful to be standing on this platform. I do not take it lightly or for granted to be able to be here. In fact, everything that you're going to hear and get from me today, it started somewhere. First and foremost, it started from my parents who gave birth to me. Thank God. Now, I want to talk about how they got me here, but anyway, I'm here. We don't want to talk about that, but I'm here. But I'm standing on this stage, this platform, getting ready to share the word of God because of two other people, a man and a woman, who are truly our spiritual mother and father. And because of their yes and their willingness to throw this wild, crazy, I'm tame right now. Y'all remember, I used to be really wild. It was crazy. Some of y'all laugh. Y'all remember, you was crazy. And they allowed us to just grow and thrive and be who God called us to be, help us refine us. And we're only here, and every single life that has been impacted in Phoenix, Arizona, guess where it started? It started in 3411 North Rangeline Road. I still remember the address. Come on, somebody. Because of the yes of two people. Watch this. 20 years ago, some of you would not even be sitting here today if it wasn't for their yes 20 years ago. And you can attest that your marriage is better, your health is better, your finances is better. And the Bible tells us that those that preach and teach the word are worthy of double honor. So can we take about 10 seconds and give honor to where honor is due? Pastors Gene and, oh, come on, somebody. Y'all can do better than that. They are a gift to your life. We love you. Thank you so much. Thank you for trusting a loud, crazy boy from Tulsa to share with your church today. And I do not take it lightly. And also, if y'all know, our relationship is continuing. They are a part of our overseers board at our church. And I just want to update some of you on what God is doing in our church. It's literally, some of these numbers I'm going to share with you don't make any sense. It is all God. We are less than 2 years old, y'all. Less than 2 years old. And in that short frame of time, we have seen over 2,100 decisions for Christ. Come on, somebody. 200 plus baptisms and hundreds of people serving on the dream team, and God is doing something incredible. We're at two services, already almost the capacity, about to start a third one in the fall. And I want to tell you, thank you so much for your generosity. Anybody who's ever given, if some of you remember, you guys poured in a seed to us before we launched. And I want you to know it's gone on good ground, on good soil, and it has produced much fruit. And so today I am ready to just share some of that with you and to help you preach. Now, I don't know if you've noticed yet, but I am black. Surprise. And so I like a little talk back. And so, all right, I like that already. Somebody said, all right, I like that. And so when I say something that hits your spirit and it feels good, I'm going to give you all the rules today. It may not be every week, but today's the rules. I want you to say, preach it. Amen. I receive it. Or preach, black man, whatever it is. Whatever you feel hits your spirit. Or you could be like my church. When I say something good, they say something. They say, yay, yay. Y'all can tell what type of church I go to just by saying that. But anyway, so y'all, I'm going to give y'all practice on the count of three. We're going to do that. And I'm going to read the word, and then we're going to get it to y'all. Ready? Say whatever comes to your mind. Here we go. One, two, three. I like it. I think I heard a preach black man. I like that. Y'all ready? I am so excited to get in and continue this series called Freedom. Everybody shout freedom. I'm excited to get into it. Let's turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, Pastor Gene shared this scripture last week. I'm just going to build off of it. And it says it like this. It is for freedom. Everybody shout freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I love the NLT version. It says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you, everybody say, stay free. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, stay free, stay free, stay free. Make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. I want to bring to you my sermon title today, and it's this: Victory is Mine. Victory is Mine. Y'all, anybody raised in church? I was raised in that church where that song was saying every song, victory is mine. Come on, somebody. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And then what does it say? I told Satan, get thee behind. Because what? Victory today. Come on, choir. Y'all sound good today. Come on, somebody. I heard the vibrato and everything. It's my. Y'all go to a black church. Okay, it's cool. I'm crazy. I don't know if anybody told you. Victory is mine. That is something I want you to leave here declaring today. That victory Yes, it belongs to Jesus, but because it belongs to Jesus, it also belongs to you. And so I'm gonna preach to you today about that topic, that victory can truly be yours. I was so excited when Pastor Gene asked me to preach, and I was like, what's the series? He said, freedom. I said, oh, let me have a piece of that. I was like, come on, let me just jump in on that. He's like, preach whatever you want to. And I'm like, no, because it's my story. Y'all just heard me talk about it. 12 years of my life, I was not free. And so now that I am free, I got the key to help somebody else get free. I got the key to help somebody else get free. And so if I get a little loud today and I get a little excited, it's because I see what the enemy has done to some people. That they feel like where they are, they gotta stay. Where they feel like how it is how it's always going to be. But I came to tell you that it's not so. Because when Jesus shows up on the scene, he can set you free. He can turn things. All right, let me calm down. Hold on, I ain't there yet. So I'm passionate about our spiritual freedom. But here's what I know is I think what we love more is our natural freedom. Like we love the freedom of speech. Come on, somebody. Y'all be saying whatever y'all want to say on Instagram, TikTok, X, all the things. Y'all just be out here just, y'all the thumb pirates. I think that's what they call it. We love freedom of speech. We love freedom of choice. We love the freedom to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. And I know where we are. We in the Midwest, so I know y'all love the freedom to bear arms. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all strapped right now, and I'm a little afraid. So I'm gonna be nice to you today so I can get home safely. But we love our natural freedom. And here's what I've learned in my life is that we love our natural freedom so much that we will do whatever it takes to keep it. We'll move to a different place. We'll quit a job to go. They just won't let me be great. Come on, somebody. We will move from a neighborhood to another neighbor. We'll do all these things because we want to keep our natural freedom. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing that makes me perplexed is we don't have that same energy when it comes to our spiritual freedom. When it comes to our spiritual part of our life, we're just fine with status quo. We're fine with keeping it the way that it is. We're fine for settling in a place. And so we just say, well, you know what? This anxiety, I've always been anxious, so I will always be anxious. We say, depression just runs in my family. Come on, somebody. We say, this is just how life is supposed to be. Or worse, we say, this is just who I am. And the result of that language, because the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? The result of that language is you stay bound in that anxiety. The result of that is you stay bound in that depression, and you stay bound in that anger, and you stay bound in that pride, and you stay bound in that area of lust. And it's all because you think it doesn't belong to you. But can I give you my first point today? And I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. It's this: freedom is possible. I need somebody to know that in this church today. That I don't know if they heard me all the way in the back. Y'all turn me up. I said freedom is possible. You don't have to stay where you are. It's actually possible. How do I know it's possible? Because some of y'all are like, I don't care. You come from Arizona in your hot weather. You coming to tell us here that freedom's possible. You don't know what I've been through, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how long it's always been like this. And you're exactly right. I do not know that. But what I do know is Matthew 19:26, where Jesus looked at some people and he looked at them and he said, with man, it is impossible. With your thought life, it is impossible. With your ability to fix your marriage, it is impossible. I'm about to get a little preachy now. But with God, I'm about to get excited. But with God, all things are possible. See, here's what's wrong is we've tried to fix it ourselves. We've tried to take the controller of life or the driver's seat. And with you, it is impossible. But with God, he takes that word and he says, I'm possible. He says, He says, I will step into something that you think can never turn around, and I'll make it possible. You may think he will never forgive you, but I will step in and make it possible. You maybe never think your son could come home, but I'm going to step in because I am possible, but with God. Somebody needs to say that in your spirit, but with God, but with God. Some things are possible. A few things are possible. No. All things are possible. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your grandmama going through. I don't care what your cousin going through. I'm telling you, with God, freedom is possible. But can I tell you, it's your decision. Because you, if you stay bound, hear me from my heart, it is not God's decision. It's yours to keep it. And I don't know about you, but you can stay bound all you want to. Your boy gonna be over here living in the abundance and in the blessing and in the favor that God has for me. I got too much purpose on my life. I got too much calling on my life. I've got other people that need to be saved. I've got other people that need to hear my testimony. I'm not about to stay here bound and tied up to my game, to my shame, to my guilt, but I'm about to break out that thing today, and I'm about to step into everything that God has. Somebody say, freedom is possible. It is possible. We just read this verse, but I want to read it again. It's possible because of Jesus. Watch this. Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ, watch this, has set us free. Can I help you? The Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock on Saturday morning, and I thought it was rude because I was asleep. But anyway, I'm just going to be honest. I was like, Lord, right now? He gave me this revelation that you see here on the screen. I had never seen it before in my life out of all the years preaching this scripture. He said, it is for freedom, watch this, that Christ has set us free. I need you to hear that. That is past tense. It does not mean he is setting you free. It does not mean you got to keep working it up until you can get free. And it definitely don't mean that you don't get free until you stand in heaven. It says that because of the work, the finished work of what Jesus has done, it says he has already set you free. That's a good reason to clap your hands and give God some praise in this place. And here's one of my favorite scriptures, John 8:36. It says, so if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Y'all, I'm about to, I'm trying not to get too crazy already. I'm trying to stay reserved. But I need y'all to see this for me. It's because this image came to me this week about this free indeed that you need to know is somebody who has gone to jail or to prison, and maybe they get out early on good behavior, but maybe they're still monitored, right? They're monitored either by their parole officers or by that thing that's on their ankle. Come on, somebody. And every day they be trying to use butter, trying to get that thing out. Come on, anybody? Just be like, you think some Crisco oil could work to get this? You think this could work? But here's what I know, is they're out of prison, but they're not fully free. And can I tell you, that's how some of us look in this room right now. I can see it. You dressed up looking good. You drove a nice car here. You're smiling like everything's good, but really on the inside, you're dying. Really on the inside, people don't know that you've been crying yourself to sleep, that you barely made it here today because you have not gotten the awareness that you can be free indeed. Because someone who's free indeed ain't no more ankle monitor. Come on, somebody. Ain't no more tabs on him. He says you can walk wherever you want to walk. You can go wherever you want to go. You can do whatever you want to do because you are free indeed. I need somebody to hear me say this. Jesus did not just die for you to be saved. He died so that you could be free. Let me help you. He did not just die for salvation. He died so that you didn't have to stay addicted to those pills. He died so that you didn't have to keep giving your body away. He died so that you didn't have to have sleepless nights. He died not just for you to be saved, but for you to be, everybody say, free. Victory is mine. But can I break some bad news to you? As most of us as believers, here's what happens, is we just settle for salvation. And can I tell y'all, that is the base level of your relationship with God. That's the starting blocks. God has so much more than that. But some of us settle for the base level of salvation,
but yet we still allow our lives to be in chaos. And we still allow our lives to be hectic, and we still just settle for the anxiety and the depression. And can I just push on us a little bit? I know I'm not your pastor, and this ain't gonna feel good, but this is why some people in your life won't come to church, because your life is so jacked up. Uh-oh. Somebody get my plane ready. I ain't got no plane. That was dumb. Why did I say that? I don't have a plane. I don't have one. This shirt was $10. I'm sorry. The pastor has a plane? I do not. I promise. But there, that's why, watch this, some people don't want Christ because they see the Christian. They see the Christian whose life is still jacked up, who's still, they're drinking themselves to sleep, who's still, they're just sleeping around with everybody, who still don't have good thoughts about themselves. And they like, if that's what following Jesus is, I don't want that. Because we're shorting them to see that there's so much more than salvation. There's so much more. God has so many promises. Can I just list some to you? They're not on the screen, but you just want to listen to it with your heart. He promises you peace. Come on, does anybody in this room need some peace in this room? He promises you peace. John 14, 27, it says, my peace I give to you. Not the world's peace. Not the country's peace. He says, my peace I give to you. He says he promises us strength, that those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Guess what else he gives you? He promises you wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, come to God and he will graciously give it to you. He promises hope. He says, I will turn your sorrow into joy. And then he doesn't stop there. He goes, I'm going to give you more joy, because the joy of the Lord will become your strength. Come on, somebody. He promises rest. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He promises favor. He says he will bless the righteous with favor. And my favorite promise in the Bible, he promises his presence. He says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I tell you why that's a great promise? Because when you've got the presence of God, you got everything you need. I'm going to help you. That's why worship is so important, because when you get the presence of God, you get the healing that you need. When you have the presence of God, you get the hope that you need. When you get the presence of God, you have everything that you need. So, but here's what I know about us too as believers and Christians, and honestly, can I push on us for a minute? As Americans, we think all of these promises are just going to be handed to us. Because, I'm going to say this, y'all ain't going to let me come back next time, but it's because we live in an entitled society and an entitled generation. And thank God for everyone who served and laid their life down. We're celebrating that, honor them tomorrow. But we give our heart, our focus to a country who is not always honoring God. Let me step back for a minute. I know y'all like to bear arms here. I just said that. I need to back up. But so we think that we deserve things, and we should just get it. We should get it handed to us. And now here's what I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you that you have to work for something, because that's not what the Bible says. I'm not also not telling you that you have to earn it, because you can't earn it anyway. The Bible says on our best days, our best righteousness is as filthy rags. I ain't going to explain what that is, but look it up. It's nasty. Just look it up. I'm not telling you you have to do those things, but here's what I'm going to tell you today, though. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it, but sometimes you will have to fight for it. I'm about to wake up my fighters in here today. There's sometimes you might actually have to fight for your peace. There's sometimes you might actually have to fight for your children and say, in Jesus' name, devil, you have to take your hands off my children. They are of God. You might have to actually fight for your marriage and say, in Jesus' name, no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. Divorce will not come to our house. You might actually have to fight for your pastors. Come on, somebody, because you don't know what they're wrestling with. And you might have to hit your knees and say, in Jesus' name, will you cover their family? In Jesus' name, will you protect them? You might have to fight for that anxiety to get off your mind. Here's the problem. Some of us don't know how to fight. And we have been, I said this in the first service, and sorry if you don't explain it, but you out here getting mollywopped. You know what that means? Let me just show you. It's just, you just, uppercut. You just, Life is life is hitting you with a two-piece and an uppercut, somebody. And you're just getting beat up. But I wonder if somebody would say, I'm not just going to keep getting beat up anymore, because devil, you might have knocked me down. You might have taken the wind out of my sails. You might have hit me with something I didn't think was going to happen. You might have seen that, but you may have knocked me down, but you did not knock me out. I'm about to get back up. I'm about to get back up, and I'm about to get back in the ring. I'm about to fight for my family. I'm about to fight for my freedom. I'm about to fight for my children. I'm about to fight for my marriage. Is there anybody in this place that's ready to fight? Come on, somebody. I'm ready to fight. You might have to fight for it and stop sitting back and being passive, thinking that it's just going to happen overnight. You have to fight for it. How do I fight for it? Well, Pastor Gene gave an incredible message last week that I'm not going to re-preach, but the first fight is going to be between you, yourself, and I. You know what I'm saying? He preached last week talking about on the fight and the battle between the spirit and the flesh, where there are some things that your spirit wants to do. You want to apologize, but your pride won't let you. You want to do the right thing, but you keep giving in to something else because you're in this wrestle. Can I tell you, that's going to be the hardest fight of your life. Because, watch this, everywhere you go, you go. Y'all get it? Somebody went right over your head. Let me help you. Everywhere you go, you still there. You blaming everybody else for their issues, but you jacked up too, boo. It's the hardest. Come on, can we not be fake here today? Y'all know all of us are a little crazy. All of us got some areas that we jacked up in. So you're going to have to fight against yourself. But after you conquer that, like Pastor Gene taught us last week, if you didn't watch it, if you weren't here, go back to YouTube and watch it. Then you got to realize that there's like another level. Because after you maybe are able to conquer that fight with yourself, next up, ding, ding, is the enemy. Because the fight with yourself, you're fighting the inner me, but there is an enemy that you have to fight against. And can I tell somebody, there is a real devil. I want to be very clear. There's a real devil. There's a real place called hell. There is all of those things that are out there. The Bible says this, that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Can I tell you, he's not playing fair. He's not playing fair. He's coming to try to take you out of the things that God has for you. And so you're going to have to fight against him and all the plans. You really think that all of those promises, and I didn't even give you a quarter of the promises that are in the Bible. You really think he just going to sit back and let you have that? You really think he's just going to sit back and let you have peace? You think he's going to sit back and just say, you're praying all the time and he's not going to come in and mess with you? I've been preaching about the devil for the last couple of months at our church. And can I tell y'all how much he is messing with my family? In fact, y'all might see this little thing on my finger. I wish I had a great story. I wish I could tell you I got into a fight with a bear on the top of the mountain. Come on, somebody. I wish I could tell you I was out riding my bike and I fell off my bike, because that sounds about right. I wish I could tell you I got into a fight with somebody else. But you want to know who I got into a fight with? My Nike sock. That's what happened, everybody. It's no lie. I was taking my sock off, felt two pops. I said, I'm out of here. You know, it's like, but I realized this. Some people called it a freak accident. And I almost instantly knew this was the devil. Now, I'm not somebody that preaches that the devil's under every rock. I think some things just happen. Sometimes life just be life, and right? But we were just off of one of the most historic times in our church in a short amount of time. We had over 1,500 people come to our church for Easter. We had 150 people give their life to Christ on Easter Sunday. We baptized 40 more people the next Sunday. And we saw God do some incredible things. And so the devil was mad. I text her. I said, "Ooh, I done made the devil mad." But guess what? I didn't back up. I said, "That's all you got?
You coming for my finger? I'm coming for your life. You coming for my finger? I'm coming for these families. You can maybe take my finger away, but you can't take my praise away. You can't take my worship away. You can't take my gratitude away. Can we take 10 seconds to give him gratitude that we're even alive right now? I'm thankful that I'm alive. I thank you I got health in my lungs. I'm thankful that I'm free. Come on, give him some praise of gratitude in this place. You can't take it away from me. I grew up in a church where it said the devil didn't give it to me and the devil can't take it away. But if you think that he's going to give you all that stuff and just back off, you got another thing coming. Because he will absolutely come to fight you and he will come to test you. How do I know this? Ask Jesus. We're going to use Jesus as a case study found in Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 through 11. The scripture will be on the screens. It says this: after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter, the devil, came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now, y'all better be glad your boy ain't Jesus. Can I be transparent with y'all? Because I would have failed at this moment of saving the world. 40 days and 40 nights, your boy would have been hungry. And I would have been like, you know what? You write Hackett's in Jesus' name, or in my name, because that's what some of y'all get that tomorrow. I would have done that. I would have blew it right there. But Jesus didn't. He said, "It is written, man shall not live on Popeyes alone, bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, "If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down. For it is written," this is the devil talking, "he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up your hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Careful to not know, you need to know this, that the enemy knows the word better than some of us do. I'm going to keep going. I ain't got time for that one. He quotes the word, and he said, so jump off. Again, y'all, I would have blown it. Because in that moment, I struggle with pride, y'all. That's my number one sin. I'm just telling y'all, that's what I do. And I especially struggle with that when somebody tells me it's something I can't do. I'm like, you said what? I can't jump off this mountain and fly? Y'all, the spirit of Maui would have hit me. I would have said, ka-ka! I'd have been up out of here. I'd have been gone. But somebody say, thank God he's not Jesus. Come on, somebody. Again, he took him on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms and their splendor. And he says, "All of this, I will give it to you if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then, everybody say then. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. There's a few things I just want to pull out of this passage real quick, and we're going to worship, we're going to get out of here, is if you go back to that first verse in verse 2, it says this happened right after Jesus had been baptized, right after he had gone public and people knew who he was, and he had been spending time with God for 40 days and 40 nights. This is when the devil showed up. It is interesting to me that it's a lot of times in your life that you are the closest moment to your breakthrough, that's when the enemy shows up. The closest that you're about to get to things changing and turning around, or the closest you've ever been to God, that's when the enemy tries to show up. You know something else that stands out to me is he kept saying, the devil kept saying, "Well, if you are the Son of God," he kept questioning who he actually really was. Y'all can see that in so many different verses. You see it here on verse 4 or in verse 3. It says, "If you are the Son of God." Now, here's what's crazy. Is just a chapter before, we realize that that has already taken place. It says in chapter 3, it says that a voice came from heaven. Jesus had just been baptized. He comes up out of the water, and God says, "This is my son." So he had already identified who he was. But here's what I know about the devil, is that before he ever attacks your ability, he will always attack your identity. Before he ever attacks your ability and what God has placed in you, he starts to make you question who you really are. Because when you've messed up and you made a mistake,
He moves you from saying, I made a mistake, to I am a mistake. He moves you from saying that I made a lie or I lied to I am a liar. He makes you start to say, I failed, to you are a failure. And then what he tries to start doing, he tries to start speaking to your future. And he says, you're going to always be a failure. You're always going to be a cheater. You're always going to be angry. You're always going to be addicted. You're always going to be alone. But can I free somebody today to tell you that the only one that can speak to your identity is the one who created you? Oh, come on, somebody. He's the only one that can speak to your identity. And can I tell you that God factored all your mess ups in before you were even born? Can I prove it to you? Jeremiah 1:5. This is God speaking. He said, I knew you. I knew you were going to mess up. I knew you were going to be jacked up. He's talking to me. I knew you were going to be addicted for 12 years before I even sent you to this earth. But then what he says, but guess what? I still chose you. I still appointed you. I still set you apart. Can I tell somebody today, I don't care where you've messed up, where you've jacked up, where you've blown up. God said, I still chose you anyway. Come on to the front of the line, because I already factored it in. So he'll tell you those things. Here's another thing that I see in this text is the devil loves to give you false promises. Let's go to chapter 4 real fast. It says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain. He must have been in Arizona. Come on, somebody. We got mountains everywhere. He said, I showed him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And watch what he said. He said, I will give you all of these kingdoms. I'll give it to you all, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. It's funny to me that the devil likes to make promises in which he has no authority to give. Because watch this. He will promise you peace if you keep taking that substance. He will promise you joy if you will change your body and you'll finally be happy. He will promise you that you will feel wanted if you watch those things that I was watching. He will promise you that you can handle it if you just keep going to get 2, 3, 4 more credit cards. Real quiet in this Presbyterian church when I said that. I think a finance series is next, Pastor Gene. I think that's what's coming. He promises you security if you will take that job, but you might get more money, but you're going to get more stress too. He tells you those things that he has no authority to do. And here's what I want you to know is his promises always are featured with compromise. Y'all remember the CDs? Come on, somebody. And you would see on there featuring whoever, T-Pain or something like that. I wasn't always saved, y'all. I listened to those things. Featuring whatever. When he gives you a promise, it's featuring heartbreak. It's featuring anxiety. It's featuring, he's telling you you're going to get something, but really you're going to get something else that you weren't even prepared for. But can I tell you something that I've been preaching over the last couple of months at our church in some form or fashion? And this is not just a phrase that's a church phrase. This is not just something that your grandmama coined. This is not just something that you just tattoo on a shirt. This is an actual true statement that's in the Bible. And it's this: the devil is a liar. I got 4 people that got that. Let me see if somebody else over here got it. I said the devil is a liar. I'm going to tell one more person. Let me see if the center section got me. I said that dumb old devil, he is a liar. How do I know this? I don't have the scripture up here, but the Bible says that he knows no truth. He can't speak the truth. So you know what that tells me? That tells me if he's talking at all, there actually must be truth on the other side. So if he's telling you your marriage ain't gonna get better, get ready, boo, you about to tell a testimony. If he's telling you that your finances ain't gonna get in order, you better get ready, like Bishop Jake says, because you about to be blessed. If he's telling you you're gonna die from that sickness, you must know a healing is on the way. I'm trying to tell somebody, the devil is a liar. He's lying to you about your family. He's lying to you about your spouse. He's lying to you about your future. The devil is a liar. But here's what you got to know what to do, and I'm getting out of here. You got to learn how to fight him so that you don't just keep getting knocked out everywhere. You got to fight him how Jesus fought him. Hear me. Jesus did not fight with opinion. He did not, hear me, he did not fight with a podcast. He did not fight, watch this. This is going to be crazy. He did not even fight him with prayer. He fought him with the word of God. Can I prove it to you? Jesus said constantly, he said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. He said, it is written, man shall not test God. He said, it is written, those things. Those three words had more power than any opinion that he could ever have. He said, it is written. Can I tell you how you can fight today when the enemy comes to you and tells you you're going to be alone? You say, it is written that God will never leave me nor forsake me. When he tells you that nobody cares for you and that you're not special and nobody going to miss you when you're gone, you're going to say, it is written. I am a chosen people. I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I am the head and I am not the tail. When he tells you that your child ain't going to never be saved, you say, it is written. If I train up a child in the way that they should go, they will not, they will not, they will not depart from it. When he tells you that you're too dirty and jacked up, you say, it is written that I've already been forgiven by God. When he tells you you're going to be depressed forever, it is written that the joy of the Lord is my strength. When he gives you anxious thoughts that you're going to die, you say, no weapon formed against me, my children, my family, my business will be able to prosper. It is written. And when he tells you that you are going to get sick and die, you say, it is written that the stripes that Jesus took on his back, I'm not going to be healed. I'm already healed. It is written. Can I give you three more words? Because you can say, it is written, but you can also say my sermon title, Victory is Mine. I'm telling somebody today, I came all the way from here from Arizona. I don't care if it's been 10 years. I don't care if it's been 20 years. Victory is mine. But pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. It's been so hard. Can I encourage somebody today? Victory is mine. I'm telling you, when you think it can't happen, I want you to declare over your life and over your body, victory is mine. I'm telling you, when somebody thinks that it cannot turn around, you just open up your mouth and declare, victory is, victory is. Now shout like you got the victory. Shout like you. I said shout like you got the victory, like you already got it. Like you've already seen it. Come on, 10 more seconds. Shout, shout, shout. And we give Jesus a praise. Come on, we sing. Jesus be the name. Come on, we sing. Jesus, you be the name that gets all the glory for the victory that's in my life. Come on, say. Come on. Jesus, come on, would you lift up your hands in this place and let's worship him like we got the victory. We're not fighting for it. We're fighting from it. We've got the victory. We've got the victory. Come on. Jesus be the name. Say, Jesus be the name. Come on, Jesus be. Come on, from the front to the back. If you really want the victory, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, lift up your heart, and sing, Jesus be the... Jesus be the name. He's going to get all the glory. One more time, from the front to the back. Jesus be the name. Say... One more time, every voice, Jesus be the name, Jesus be the name.
Come on, every hand uplifted, every hand. Ha, ha. He's here in the room right now. We're just gonna be here just for two more minutes. But if you're in this place right now, I'm not gonna ask you to come forward, I'm not gonna ask you to do those things, but you know internally that there's an area you need to get free in. Jesus is here to meet you right now. I don't have to scream, I don't have to shout, I already did it. But now I'm telling you, he's here. But the question is, will you give it to him? Will you give him those anxious thoughts? Will you give him that place of depression? Will you give him that bitterness? Will you give him that unforgiveness that's making you sick? Will you give it to him today? Because he wants your story to be that victory is mine. Jesus, we thank you for the victory that you've already won for us. We repent when we've tried to fix it on our own. We repent when we've tried to fix it ourselves. But today, we're coming back to you. Not just for the gift of salvation, but God, for the gift of freedom that you have for each and every believer. And so, God, I speak freedom over every marriage in this room right now. I speak freedom over those who are having anxious thoughts and they are not able to sleep at night. I speak that it's broken off by the authority of Jesus Christ. Right now, they will have peace. They will have rest. They will have joy in their life. I speak right now over those who have been depressed for 2 and 3 years. I declare right now that you are returning the joy back into their life, the joy of their salvation, the joy of who you've called them to be, the joy of being here on this earth. Would you restore it in their life? And I pray for those right now that are bound in addiction, both publicly and secretly. And I declare right now, we shine the light of Jesus over that area. And would you bring healing, restoration, forgiveness, and joy like only you can. God, we declare victory is mine. It's mine. Come on, somebody say it out of your mouth. Victory is mine. Come on, victory is mine. It is ours.